accession number 16485, reel 3.
What?
Dr. Schuletz, reel 3.
We are in Marseille.
Yes.
Right. Now, that was before before Germans broke through the line, and we while we were in the camp there, the colonel, French colonel, in charge of the camp, approached us, telling us that we should agree to collaborate with the French anti-espionage unit, because you see what happens is the Germans sent a lot of German soldiers or German spies equipped with Polish papers taken from the Poles, you see, where they took as prisoners or even killed ones, and they were sending them as a so-called fifth column. Do you remember what fifth column was?
Yes.
So you see, this camp, you see, of course, was specially organized for the Poles who were escaping from Poland and coming from all sorts of parts of the world, you know, to join Polish army. And there was a possibility that among the Poles there will be some who are German spies, you see. So we said, okay, well, that's our duty, and certainly we'll do this kind of work if there is anything like that. And, well, that was going on until, mind you, we got terrific news on the wireless that the Germans broke through the French lines and are approaching Paris.
Did you find any German fifth colonists?
I believe there were, yes, that they were found, you see. Not exactly by myself or anything like that, but I think there were, I'm sure there were some that most probably were caught, you see, before they did any nasty work or anything like that. Now, when the Germans started approaching, there was an order from our forces as well to go towards Spain or towards Africa or something like that, you see. Now, that was much easier to say than to do, you see, that circumstances. However, we got a taxi. We in Marseille, we burnt all our papers, you see, that could incriminate us in any way. We took a taxi towards Spanish frontier. As we were passing the port, Sète, on the Mediterranean, we found a Polish ship there, arrested by French already, because French got an order to arrest Poles now. And like silly asses, they started following the orders, you see, from Germans. Of course, this part of the southern part of France later on became Vichy, do you remember? Anyhow, this Polish ship was arrested by French, and we also found that there were quite a few Poles who put their money together to pay the French authorities to let the ship out during the night, and that's what happened. We joined them, and in the night they let us very slowly to slip out of sight on the Mediterranean Sea. And we started going in the direction of Gibraltar. Here, mind you, in the middle of this journey, suddenly we noticed a ship going in the same direction as we are going and approaching us, you see. Now, this Polish ship was already equipped by British with a gun at the back. And the captain looked at the other ship and said, well, it looks that they have a gun as well, you see. And they had a gun on us. What to do? And, well, let us put the Polish flag up and see what happens. We put the Polish flag up and they put the English flag. It was a ship that was evacuating a British unit that was stationed somewhere near Marseille. So we joined together, you see, and together we arrived in Gibraltar. In Gibraltar, we were transferred to a British ship that was evacuating the families from the Far East, called Donira, I think it was the name. It was served by Hindu crew, very, very nicely, everything fantastic. And it took us 3 weeks, because first of all we went in the Atlantic to miss the Portugal, to miss the France, as there was a danger. In fact, it was not a danger, but it was the truth that the Germans already had their U-boats and they were attacking the convoys. This ship went with a convoy. It was, I believe there was more than 100 ships in the convoy. And we arrived in Liverpool. From Liverpool we were transferred to London and we were sent to a camp for this kind of people. Whole lot of Poles in this camp as well, but there were some other people as well, and for the purpose of verification, you see. In this camp came the Polish unit again to register us for the army. I was examined again and told that I'm not fit. Well, I knew that damn thing, this hernia, and I was very disturbed about it, because what the hell to do with me, with myself? So you see, I was in a bit of trouble, but the Polish government, I don't know what they did with the others, but I was given a little room in a hotel that was all occupied by Polish people, and they were all paid by Polish government or something. I don't know how it was organized, but we were all, it was in London, in Maida Vale district, very small little kind of hotel. And so the question of food and where to live was solved. But we didn't speak English, not just a few words and so on. And I started going to Polish consulate, meeting Polish students and so on. And we organized a little circle of students and asked for a teacher to teach us English. And there is an organization in London called British Council, and they sent us this teacher, you see. And the teacher said, well, you see, that's all very well, but I was in touch with the authorities, and they are quite happy to send different Polish students to different universities to learn the English language, about institutions and so on and so on. And some kind of board of examiners came and what would you like to go to one of these courses? I said, yes, I would very much. What were you studying in Poland? I said, medicine. Well, said, it's very tricky, you see, you have to learn English first and so on. So they sent me to Birmingham. And in Birmingham, I was with another four students, Polish students, three girls and one boy. His name was Walewski, famous name, because Mrs. Walewski was the Napoleon's lover. Anyhow, it has nothing to do with it. I think that was some kind of connection of family. So we were sent to Birmingham, mind you.
To university,
but not as a university student, but for a course specially organized by British Council. The course was to give us the smothering of British history, British institutions, but mainly to teach us speaking English. We are placed in a place called Settlement among British students as well, who were working voluntarily among the boys and girls of the district, you know, to help them and so on and so on. Settlement, it was called. And there I was sent with this Walewski fellow, you see. During the bombing of Birmingham, poor Walewski got it and died in the hospital, bleeding to death. And I wanted definitely to join the medical school. So they gave me a teacher, lady teacher, who, you see, in Poland, on the first year of medicine, we have three subjects: anatomy, exam to take, and in England you have three. We have two. We have anatomy and chemistry. In here, you have anatomy, chemistry, and biology. You see? Now, the biology, I had only a smattering of it, so this lady teacher was helping me. And I hoped that I, most probably after a year or so of learning English and so on. While in Birmingham, I joined the Lewis's shop, because they organized a unit for dealing with casualties, you see, during the night and so on, in the shop where I stationed in the night. And it was really very, very nice, very well organized unit.
A first aid unit.
First aid unit, that's right, in the hairdresser shop of the thing. During the day it was hairdresser shop, during the night we congregated together and were doing the first aid. Now, while we were there, I learned that Polish authorities got in touch in Scotland with the Scottish authorities, and they organized a Polish school of medicine attached to the Birmingham University, to the Edinburgh University, sorry, you know? So when I heard that there is this kind of institution, I went to Edinburgh and I was accepted as a student there. and I finished my medical studies in Edinburgh University, helped by the Polish School of Medicine. And in 1947 I became MBCHB Edinburgh. By that time, of course, my English was much better. I married in Edinburgh, my wife now, and with the diploma, you see, I learned that Whitehaven Hospital is looking for a houseman, you see. So I made application and went there, and I was accepted. And I spent almost a year in Whitehaven Hospital as a surgical houseman. By that time, the National Health Scheme altogether came into being. And reading one of the medical magazines, I heard that a doctor in Bolton called Dr. Walsh, Irishman, very nice fellow, is looking for a partner or for a helper or assistant or whatever it is. So I got in touch with him. He invited me to come to here I am. And very nice chap. He showed me all the tricks how it's working in the general practice. And Bolton at the time was quite a nice, really, from as far as I was concerned, very nice, well organized place. And I thought, well, let us try it for a year or so and see how it will work.
So you transferred from hospital work to GP work?
From hospital work to GP work in Bolton with Dr. Walsh. But after a year, Dr. Walsh offered me partnership. And that was already National Health Scheme. You see, conditions were quite good. And being married and having a child already, first daughter already, I thought, well, I am already, after all, in Bolton, so he helped us to buy a house, and I stayed in Bolton as a GP. That was more or less the whole story.
If I can ask you one or two questions.
By all means.
When you came to Britain in the war, did you have any problems being accepted in Britain as a foreigner in the war?
No problem.
What was the attitude of British people toward you?
First of all, I didn't have much contact with the British people because I didn't speak English or anything like that. But all the people that I met were very nice, very helpful. And when they sent me to Edinburgh, of course, I met with university people of Birmingham. I met with the university people and students and so on, and foreign students, and I didn't have any problem. And I don't think any of us, Poles and foreigners even, have had any problems at all. People at the university were very, very kind, very nice, very helpful.
Did you think that Britain could win the war?
You see, you mean what time of war? At the very beginning when I arrived. Remember, we were in London. And then I was among the Poles. They were all very depressed and very kind of doubtful what will happen. Some of them, I remember one chap, engineer of ship building some firm or something like that in Poland. He was there and he said, my goodness, just look at the map, he said, and look at England and look at Hitler. Here he is, taken France over, taken Poland over, going to Russia, and so on, you see. And, you know, Spanish more or less were kind of very kind to him, due to that he helped them during the Spanish Revolution. Italy was joined with Hitler. Japan was, you know, how the hell we can manage? And some other people were saying, well, you see, the fact is that we are managing so far, and the fact is that in the very difficult situation they managed to evacuate their army from France to Dunkirk. You see, after all, we have nothing to lose. You see, we have to help them as much as possible, and I think we are prepared to do so. And you see, as they attacked the Russia Germans, you see, Poles begin to wonder how the hell they can manage, because Russia is a different pair of kaloshes. It isn't only to defeat the army, which we thought will not last long, but with the help of the allies and so on. You see, it's the chance is that most probably they will win the war. Yeah, the people who had a bit of you know, thinking in them, they thought that yes, the situation was possible.
How much of the bombing of Britain by the German Air Force did you personally come into contact with?
Oh, first of all in London, you see, it was terrible. These were the first kind of air raids, and they were fantastic. They used to send them not only in the daytime, but in the nighttime as well. And terrific bombing was going on. London was all a mass of building destroyed and shelters. And I remember the main street, Oxford Street, full of rubble all over the place, full of the anti-fire equipment, you see, lying also. You couldn't cross the street. You know, that was fantastic. That was one thing. Then when I went to Birmingham, I thought, oh, well, I'm getting out of this hell, because I thought London waiter. And the first night in Birmingham was already bombed out of the house, you see. We had to run to the shelters and so on. But in Birmingham, with all the students, and that was in the settlement, we were organized into kind of firefighting units and, you know, and so on. But it was terrible. During the war, in Birmingham goes as much as anything. Now, when I changed to Scotland, it was different, you see. We never experienced any bombing in Scotland. I believe there was something at the beginning of the war. My wife remembers that in the first or second day of war, they sent some aeroplanes somewhere. But they most probably bombed somewhere, but we never experienced any. The worst bombing was in London, in Birmingham.
What was this settlement in Birmingham?
What was it?
Yes.
It was a kind of university settlement for students. You see, where students lived. Some students lived, you see. And there was mixed students, lots, girls and boys. And they had meetings with the young people from the street and trying to organize them in some kind of little club, and, you know, giving them talks and this kind of thing.
Were they of all nationalities?
Now, the British students were there, all English, maybe Scottish, I don't know, and Welsh, I don't know, but they were all British. But the students that were attached to it were from Spain. There were two from Spain, two from Poland, myself and this Nowalewski, as I told you. Then there was a German fellow, Jewish fellow, you see, who escaped from Germany. And who else there was? I think, yes, there was Dutch, two students, and this kind of thing. So it's international.
Going back to 1939, you said that there was a contrast between Soviet-occupied Poland, the Ukraine, which it became, and the German-occupied Poland.
Mm.
You said there was a difference in regimentation.
Yes.
Was that?
Yes, because the Russians immediately started political propaganda. All they wanted to was to organize the people in some kind of communistic clubs and all sorts of things, you see. All the blocks had to vote. It was a democratic voting. One candidate only, you see. And people had a democratic right to vote or not to vote. How it was organized was really fantastic. You cannot imagine. The block of the people was surrounded. All the people were taken by lorries, you see, to the voting place, and there were two kind of little booths, you see, in the corner. And if they didn't vote for the, but they supposed to do it in such a way that nobody knew about it. So all they could go to do is to go at the end of the table, and the soldiers were here. And they said, yes, we are voting, you see, from the Tovarish Mazur, you see. And if they didn't vote, want to do so in front of the soldiers, they could go and in this booth and cross it, you see. It was democratic, you see. Oh, you cannot imagine. The thing was so fantastic that it made us laugh, you see, as free Poland, you know.
And how was that so different from the German occupied Poland?
Well, at the time, you see, Germans were quite kind of helping, you know, the people around. And I remember once helped us to, we were walking and tired, so they helped us in a little car, you know, to give us a little lift and so on. And but by the time we came to Lodz, it was already different. They started organizing there as well. As I told you, they hung the people already. They were catching them. They were surrounding and getting the young people and sending them to the Germany to work and so on.
How did they hang those three people?
They brought on the marketplace a little kind of scaffolding, you see, on wheels. I think it was a children
swing.
I think it was. Anyhow, on it, you see, they made these three hung them.
How did the three people behave?
You mean the people around, or the people hung to us? Of course, I think one of them was Jewish, or two of them were Jewish, one of them was Paul. They, of course, well, I don't know whether they were stunned or what it was.